kind of explain what the Ag Center is. What do they do around the area? And
so what the Ag Center is your one-stop shop for your agricultural needs. So what basically it started as a few like-minded individuals in ag, and it's grown into this thing from companies from Tulare all the way up to Modesto. Now we got vendors, and it's just like your one-stop shop. Hey, you're an almond grower or farmer or whatever you may do in the world of agricultural. You need these services? Where do I go? Tap in the Ag Center.
Welcome back to another episode of Central Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey, a filmmaker, photographer, and a dude passionate about his community. This podcast focuses on the talented individuals that make up the Central Valley of California, as well as people who are passionate about what they do. The Central Valley has gotten a bad rep, and we're here to change that. If you enjoy what we're doing, we kindly ask that you download each episode, subscribe to our YouTube, and leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you're using. And once again, thanks for tuning into another episode of Central Valley Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into Central Valley Podcast. This week's musical guest on Central Valley Session is Christian Benavides. Here is his mashup of Pony and Oakland.
If you're ready, let's do it. Riding my pony, my saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. I'm just a bachelor looking for a partner, someone who knows how to ride it without even falling off. Gotta be compatible. Take me to my limits. Girl, when I break you off, promise that you won't wanna get off. You're ready, let's do it. Riding my pony, my saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. All the girlfriends saying, here we go again. Rich kid, but he act like a gentleman. Last one didn't end like it should have been. Two dates and you still want to get it in. You seen this because of the internet. Try once and it's on to the next chick. XO to the O face on your exes, right? We could do the same thing if you want to have better. When your thoughts can't breathe and you're thinking asthmatic. And you want to be a mom and I wasn't mad at it. I was thinking about me, I'd be really bad at it. Cause I'm thinking about me. Weeks in Dubai, 4th of July, house in Kauai. Yeah, we could try. So let's try. And if you're ready, let's do it. Riding my pony, my saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. You're ready, let's do it. Riding my pony, my saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it.
Shout out Duffy, shout out Micah.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it.
Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.
But so your dog didn't kill your duck?
No, he didn't. Just shout out my mom, actually moved him out of my backyard down onto the dairy where he's surrounded by female ducks and he's
just slanging that duck dick, man.
Yeah, he's slanging that thing, dude. Yeah. MID canal runs right through it, so he takes them out to the water.
Oh, really?
Living.
But they come back and everything? Ducks, like?
Yeah. Like, they,
especially if they're raised like that, kind of, then they're like, hey,
they just know that general area where they're good and stuff like that. They won't go anywhere. But when we go for walks and stuff, and I'll go down there with Otto, my dog, he quack, quack, and he, like, comes over to him and stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah, he, like, remembers him and everything?
Yeah, me, he doesn't give, like, a shit for. But, like, he sees Otto, and he's like, quack, quack, and I tell people their relationship is, like, Shrek and Donkey. You know, like going up Shrek's ass and Shrek doesn't really care much. Like that Otto, that's like, it looks like Otto's just like, you're lucky my dad.
Dude, but you had so many gold videos like when they were living together. And it was just like the funniest thing to see. Yeah. Me and my wife followed you literally almost like for that reason. Yeah. Like I was like, this guy has a dog and a duck, bro. Dude, speaking of ducks, my fucking, I don't know if we'll have to cut this out or not, but my grandpa had a duck. I call them turkey ducks. But it looks like it's like one of those ducks that have like a red ass, they have like a red thing around. Yeah. They look like a turkey. I mean, that's what I know.
Exactly. Shamba.
Yeah. Look up turkey duck. I'm just kidding. See if it comes up actually. But my grandpa had one of these and like.
Oh, that's an I, not a U.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So my grandpa had one of those for a while. And then like he just got, I think he like, your grandpa has hella animals like dogs, donkeys, fucking chickens, doves, like 1,000 fucking doves. Not really that many, but he has like far too many in a chicken coop. I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
But he was like, started complaining about the duck. And my grandma was like, what do you want me to do for you? He was like, I want you to find it at home. And like, then he didn't give her any time. And the next day he fucking shot the duck. Oh. And he was like, made me do this. I was like, no, she didn't, grandpa. Like, but yeah, that's
your family has such a terrible track record.
Oh, with animals, bro. Yeah, my mom.
Awful track record.
My mom was raised on the dairy, and I think that's the reason that she's just like, yeah, sometimes she's just like, you know, we just put stuff down sometimes.
Hey, but everybody ate that night.
Yeah.
Nobody went to bed starving. And found a home for the duck.
Dude, when we moved from like Atwater to Merced, and like it did take me 2 months to ask, hey, where did our cat go? And our cat, don't be wrong, it was like 11, 12, but you know cats can live like to like 15, 16, 17, 20, you know what I mean? I was like, hey, mom, what happened to our cat? And she was just like, oh, she was sick. And I was like, no, she wasn't. And she was just like, she was getting old. I was like, no, she was like fine. And she was like, I put her down.
Oh, see, you were a smart kid. Like, we had pets like that. My mom's like,
that just disappeared.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, dang, that's crazy, you know? And then a few years later at dinner, she just like
nonchalant,
lets it slip, says it. And I'm just, you told me Hank was ran away. Like, I didn't know you clipped him in our 02 Chevy Tahoe. I'm like, what the fuck?
No, exactly. So, Brian, thank you for coming on. If there's one guest I've tried to get on this podcast, Brian, it's you for more than dopamine.
Yeah.
Be talking about.
I know,
you for
it never lined
years.
Up. And man, honestly, kind of nervous. You know,
dude.
Like I consider myself just a normal dude that fueled off of a work ethic and dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, and. It just never lined up, and finally, I'm glad I can.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad that you waited because it used to be in my house. So now with the newer set, it looks even more like.
No, it's legit. I complimented you. I think already many times. Yeah. I'm going to continue to do that. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Like,
yeah,
that community, and it's cool the creativity that you bring to this. And Duffy, I think it's a badass setup. And
yeah, and like people always think you can't do cool stuff in the Central Valley or in the area. You know what I mean? And like, not only is there cool stuff to do in the area, but it's like, you can create cool stuff. You don't have to go somewhere else and then do it. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You make it cool. Your creativity and the energy you put into this, and it's shown. You said it started what, in your house?
Yeah. In my house, just ex spare bedroom. Yeah.
You guys got this little studio set up here, which is pretty cool. And then I had the privilege to see some of the editing you did for local restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It kind of fires me up. I love seeing people get creative.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. It's like every time I have a conversation with somebody, I'm like, I get fired up because it's like, I like seeing what drives other people. People like think like, I mean, like obviously I'd like to do this for the community and everything else, but I feel like so fortunate because like I get all of these conversations, like all the people on the wall that like I would never know if I wasn't like, hey, do you want to do a podcast? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's cool kind of like we were talking earlier, like the most random collective group of people, but it's like what makes up the Central Valley.
Yeah, and that's what makes this unique and fun to tune in and listen to because you have just a wide range of different personalities come in and out, different trades and stuff like that. And, you know, seeing that, I'm
finally getting the farmers, you guys.
Yeah. I guess I'm breaking ground. I'm not, you know.
Well, we had a loophole because Duffy, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, well, there's a farmer on every episode. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I would love if you guys do enjoy the ag stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people.
Oh, no, yeah. And that's kind of, it's just like, it was only a matter of time. And that's like, we're going to have more people and stuff. So why don't you introduce yourself for people who may not know who you are?
Well, I'm Brian Silvera. A lot of people know me from the Ag Center. I manage our North Division for Caddyshack Rodent and Tree Barber, custom topping and hedging. So,
did you have to anything to do with the names of them?
Nothing.
I was like, Brian's a cool dude. Yeah. He probably fucking was like hella unique and thought of these fucking.
No, I didn't. I think Clay Haynes, I'd have to give it to him. An older gentleman that started it with Kyle, who's known as my boss. Mm-hmm. They came up with that. And
so kind of explain what the Ag Center is. What do they do around the area? And
so what the Ag Center is your one-stop shop for your agricultural needs. So what basically it started as a few like-minded individuals in ag, and it's grown into this thing from companies from Tulare all the way up to Modesto. Now we got vendors, and it's just like your one-stop shop. Hey, you're an almond grower or farmer or whatever you may do in the world of agriculture. You need these services. Where do I go? Tap in the Ag Center. Mm-hmm. And the Ag Center has all these like-minded, well-respected individuals and their line of work on one hub. They're continuously growing, and man, the opportunities there are left and right. And I guess my biggest thing coming into here is just encourage people like, hey, if you're interested in ag, don't know where to start, follow the Ag Center because they
have great content. Like, and even if it is cool seeing like farming in that way, you know what I mean? Cause like, I feel like for like a long time, it doesn't matter what the craft is, but for a long time, it's like, it's cool seeing high quality stuff in whatever division it is. But like, especially being in the Central Valley, it's like there's so much, like you guys produce so cool content, like a lot of it too.
And that's the goal. Like, hey, farming is cool. I mean, farming is the Central Valley. That's what it is. We produce anything from milk, stone fruit, it's just everything, vegetables. And there's so many opportunity, you know, like I like to encourage people that, especially young kids coming into the workforce, check out ag. You want to be a heavy equipment operator, or you want to farm, or you want to work with cattle. Like, there's so many opportunities. I think California is one of the top in producing vegetables, fruits, and as well as milk products. Mm-hmm. If Duffy wants to fact check me on that, I'm no genius. I just know what I know, and that's it.
All milk comes from California.
I wish it would.
California, you guys. Fuck you, Wisconsin.
Yeah, stop so we can raise the milk prices here, man.
Exactly. And then, so you were born and raised in the area?
Yeah, so I was born originally in Modesto.
Okay.
And then moved to Merced in 96 where my life pretty much started.
Mm-hmm. And then your family was involved in agriculture?
Yeah. So my folks, interesting story, migrated from Jabay de Sica, San George, the islands, which is off the coast, quite far off the coast of Lisbon.
Okay, gotcha. And so it's not involved. I mean, it's not the Azores either.
No, it is. It is. The Azores is off the coast. Which I don't know how far it is off Lisbon, but I think that's pretty interesting.
It's crazy how many people from the specific Azores are in this area, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So people, a lot of them landed in Boston and New York. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never been there, but I've heard there's a huge Portuguese community there
over there too.
Yeah, because Boston, New York is considered closer to the Azores than California.
Oh, yeah, for sure is.
But California had cattle, and a lot of people already had connections here, and a lot of families migrated here.
Yeah, my family, too, from Lisbon. I think it might have been Azores, too. I'm not too sure, but I think my grandpa's grandpa. I don't know. I got to be wrong here, but you know what I mean? But, like, yeah, they came from Azores and that same area, but it's like you're telling me your cousin and stuff.
Yeah, so my parents and uncles all migrated here, right? This San George Island, it's a small island. And, you know, the opportunity there was so high. And they wanted a better life for themselves. So what started, hey, a few kids went first, started something there, then brought their brother, mm-hmm. sister, and the grandparents. And I grew up, my best friends were my cousins. You know, my mom's brothers and mm-hmm. sister's kids, because they all migrated here. Yeah. So I grew up, like, my best friends in school were my cousins. We didn't go to school together. They're living in Gustine and all that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Family events. Like, that's deeply rooted in me, as family over everything.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's awesome. So they all migrated
Families
here.
Forever, man.
As
Fast and Furious would say.
Yeah. So, mom came in 82, got rocking and rolling, and then went back and got my dad, and they came here in 82.
And so they were together in the...
In the Azores. Oh, my dad served in the military there and stuff like that. Did all that, and Yeah, then they came here, landed in Manteca, and through connections, my dad landed. Next day, started milking cows. Started milking and got after it. Mom did, worked at a sweet potato plant, cleaned houses, and we were just talking the other day at dinner. She was telling me, she said, remember, they got a kitchen table, and that's all they had, and they waited till the next paycheck. So when she got her first or her second paycheck, she went straight to the Kmart, bought these, like, shitty-looking plastic chairs, and loved it. But hearing her say that and like her eyes light up to where what they started from, which was dirt poor, to give the opportunity to what we have now.
Yeah.
It was, it fires me up.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I think there is something to say. You guys obviously know Joey Coco Diaz.
Yeah.
Immigrant mentality, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is true. Like there's a lot that immigrant mentality come over here and just start a better life for themselves. They came from a different part of the world, came here, and our background, the Severa family, is dairy cattle. So they came here, dependent on the dairy.
Did they
cattle.
Do dairy at all?
They had cattle.
In Portugal?
Yeah, they had a few cows. I mean, that's their milk.
Yeah.
Out in that corral there on the side of the island, that corn that they went and like chopped down with these little hand hooks. Now you have, you know, thousands of acres of corn and, you know, thousands of horsepower tractors coming in, chopping this down. Back then it was a Portuguese kid with some water, bread, maybe butter, and a damn knife. Just cut.
Dude. Yeah. Cause my grandpa, like he, same thing, like his dad had a dairy and then he started his own dairy as well. But, dude, and he used to own Clydesdale horses, and literally those Clydesdales literally worked on the farm. So like he'd be on something
like the Bud Light horse.
Yeah, Bud Light horse. He had four of them, dude. And growing up, like they were always around. So like I was like, oh, this is like I didn't think of like how like unique it was. You know what I mean? But like looking back, I'm like, dude, that's fucking sick.
My brother bought a Clydesdale, and we had it, but it was broke to ride and everything. Uh-huh. And he used to have these saddlebags that were insulated, so we'd pack ice in them and some beers. And he has horses as well, and we just...
Well, you probably carry, a Yeti's worth of stuff on that horse? Like, you know what I mean?
He was old, but, he was still cool.
He's huge, yeah.
But you're up there, and everyone's, like, in these colts, or not colts, but
just even normal horses. Yeah,
these normal horses, and you're like, oh, shit. But it was cool, man.
Yeah, because my grandpa used to always take us... He had a big-ass wagon, and during Christmas time, we'd always go there, and, like, other dairy houses that were, like, lit up for Christmas time, he would take us there and stuff. And then every, like, parade you can think of, he'd take his horses there and stuff like
That's
that.
Awesome.
But, it was so cool. But, yeah, how much do you think that one of those things, like, eats a day? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's hard to say. It's going to be quite a bit.
Look up how much a Clydesdale
horse. You guys want to take some guesses?
Yeah. Let's, okay, like, I'm trying to think, like, I wonder what a, like, normal horse. I don't even know what like the what to guess in the measurements. You know what I mean? Like, how many? Like, is it like?
All right, hold on before you click on that. What do you think your guess is going to be?
You know what I mean. So there's like the portions of like what is it called? Like when it's like this much hay. You know what I'm talking about? There's like
it's hard to define.
But you know what? You know what? How
they call it this know. Much.
But you know what I mean? Like they kind of peel apart though. Like the portions.
Oh, like
hay.
The flakes off, like flakes the bale off,
yeah,
and stuff like
so
that.
How many flakes,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
In this case, it'd be pounds. Like how much pounds would he? So just, I mean,
I'm gonna guess 25 because I have no idea.
I'm gonna guess 15 pounds.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 20.
All right, 15, 20, 25. 50 to 60 pounds.
Oh my God.
Pounds of hay a day.
And 30 gallons
30
of water.
Gallons
20,
of water.
Oh man, I was looking at the 2025 quarts. I thought it said pounds. Yeah, no. So we were way off.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. Imagine eating 50 pounds in a day.
Yeah, I mean,
that's 250
pounds. And of hay. Like, think about how long it will take to eat 50 pounds of hay.
Yeah.
Like, damn. And 30 gallons of water.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's expensive to keep that thing going.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Holy shit. That's wild.
And Jesus.
Oh, my God. And so you're, oh, no. Stop texting. You're, but so did you grow up speaking Portuguese?
Yeah. So my first language and still to this day at home is Portuguese. So
and your whole family?
Yeah. Grew up. I got lucky. My brother's 9 years older than me, so he had it the hard way. He was Portuguese, then boom, kindergarten. So he had to learn it. So when I obviously came into this world, I had a brother who spoke English. So we went back and forth. But every day at home, when I go visit the folks, it's Portuguese. Hey, bom dia, mãe. Como estás?
Yeah.
Bye. Hey, how's it going? You know, it's all like Portuguese.
Muscle mints.
Yeah, mais ou menos.
That's all I say. Or
no. Vai pro caralho. Yeah. That's another bad word. Like in high school, I would tell friends like Josh and Gina on. They're like, oh, how do you say like hello? And I'm like, oh, like just, hey, mama ki faz favor. And he'd be like, hey, mama ki faz favor. And people are like, what the what?
What the fuck?
And he's like, dude, they're looking at me. I was like, yeah, that means suck here, please. And they're like, oh, shit. But we're pranksters, I mean, growing up. So I loved doing that. Like, we would go out and, like, have a good time. Like, hey, just pretend I'm your Portuguese cousin. I'd do that with my cousin Eddie.
Yeah,
and he's like, all right, just only speak Portuguese to me. And we'd go, like, just mess with people. But unfortunately, I sucked at it. So then I'd break character.
You couldn't keep the character.
Too many shooters, and then you break character.
Yeah, and then you start talking English, or like perfect English, or like, what the
German
hell?
Yeah.
They're like, what the hell, dude? And so how did you get connected with the Ag Center? How did that come about? Let me step it back real quick. So your family does dairy and stuff like that, so did you do that first?
Yeah, I grew up doing that. I mean, that's what I did. I mean, every Portuguese dairy kid that's my age until this day, their first job was feeding calves. Mm-hmm. And it was cool until the summer showed up and it got hot and it sucked. But that's where you started. And then from there, I always loved equipment and stuff. So then it just evolved. Next thing you know, you're feeding cattle or you're working ground and stuff. And then my heart's always in the equipment, the big equipment, the big 8-wheeler tractors churning dirt. And that's where it was. We started doing that when I was in high school doing our own farming. And, man, I stuck that like a flight of shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I love that. Like, I didn't care. Like, yeah, some days, anything you like, there's going to be your challenging days.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not going to be all sunshine and sunflowers. Mm-hmm. There's those days. But, man, the character, that stuff.
Oh,
that,
I'm sure.
That brings out of it.
Well, like, don't you have, like, during the height of, like, when you're milking and stuff like that, we're talking earlier, but, like, you're fucking from 1 a.m. to...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was telling you earlier, in the ag world, dairy farmers. Shout out to the dairy farmers. I mean, thank one every day. Those are the hardest, most appreciative people you'll ever meet. Because it's 365 days out of the year, 24/7. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was at the dairy, like, hey, what's your position? I was like, well, shit, I mean, I can be a milker to a feeder to the farmer to a counselor because you got employees. Mm-hmm. Or I can be, you know, there's so much, or a plumber. There's so much that goes on in the dairy, and it takes, like I said, 365.
And every day it's probably different. You know what I mean? Because something comes up that you're like, fuck, we didn't plan for this or something else like that.
You know, that's just how it is. And then
that's how my mom was raised on the dairy farm too. And she would tell me about, like, you know, the like same thing, like 1 a.m. waking up, doing this stuff, then going back to sleep, then coming, waking back up at 6 a.m.
Oh, I've had
do
that.
Stuff, and
you know, everyone's had that. Yeah, the phone call at midnight. Hey, you know, Penn 6 is out. And there you have like 100 some cows running where it's like, shit.
And so,
go get it.
And so let that happens. And what do you are you like on a quad?
Yeah.
Trying to get them back
horse
in,
or a horse, quad or. Yeah. And a flashlight. Me as a kid, it was my sweatpants and a little flashlight, you know, flashlight. But yeah, no, you just round them up and stuff like that. You know, it happens. It's
just
how it goes.
That's cool, man. And then so from there, you kind of knew you wanted to be in the ag world.
Oh,
like,
always.
You knew that's what you're going to do.
I mean, you know, as a kid, right, you want to be famous. You want to be a baseball player, you know, football player, motocross. Like, you know, when reality sets in, like, I knew ag was where it was going to be.
Yeah.
I understood, like, my parents came here with nothing. Like, that drives me till this day. Me and my cousin Eddie, as you guys know, cousin E-Dog, you know, when we have our conversations, what drives us every day is like, dude, like, we're the luckiest kids in the world.
The reason that you're here right now is because
our parents, like, left an island, like, left their family to come. I mean, however far the Azores is from California, like, that's far. Mm-hmm. There's no Instagram, no texting, no nothing. Like, they came here, Leonard and Manteca, they knew people, and they just,
like you're saying, they had a table. That was big.
That's it.
That was big.
And a hell of a work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have many heroes or people I look up to, but my family, for sure. Mm-hmm. My old man, like, we always bumped heads, but since I've parted ways from him and have done my own thing, like, I look up to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got, my girlfriend looked at his hands the first Christmas she came to, and they're huge fingers. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God. Huge hand. I was like, that's manual labor. That's a guy that came over here with a dream and a hell of a work ethic, milking cows, feeding cows. He did everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he developed, you know, a dairy and a business for his kids then to take on, which my brother now operates. And it's like, man, that fires us up every day. Like, we have so much more in front of us, so much more resources than what they had. So now it's like, you know, opportunities.
Like, what's your excuse? I mean, there's no excuse.
There's no excuse. Yeah. There's absolutely no excuse. Just never. Uh-huh. As long as you, like, exhaust every avenue of trying to get done what you're trying to get done, there's absolutely no excuse. Because really, if you care that much, you'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's cool. And then what's cool is like, I mean, even like you're first generation,
yeah,
right?
Well, that'd be considered first generation.
Yeah, you're first generation because your parents, so. You're born here, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
I was
you're
born
first
here.
Generation yeah. then, yeah. Because your parents weren't. But what's cool about America is like, I mean, most people, you go back three generations and it's the same story. You know what I mean? Like everyone is relatively like, our country's not that old. You know what I mean?
No, it's
like,
not, no.
And so it's crazy because your mom came from?
Singapore.
Singapore, you know what I mean?
Cool.
Yeah, and so, and then, like, it's just so crazy that, like, and then my family came from Portugal and then my other side came from Italy, you know what I mean? But it's, like, all of us are here because, like you're saying, your parents took that leap. Like, somebody in our family was like, hey, I think there's a better life that way. I'm going to go just bet on myself, you know what I mean?
The American dream.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They heard about it, you know what I mean? And, like, that's the reason, like, we're all here today, but it's, like, I think it just... Now, like with just with social media and everything else, it gets like overlooked like far too much. But like, it's just like, it's cool. Like
everyone's attention span has been
5 seconds, bro. It's fucking, and it's like, we all fall victim to fucking.
Well, my attention span's been like that. So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool. You know,
exactly, dude. All of us. So then, and then how did you start working for the Ag Center? How did that come about?
The Ag Center came about, you know, the dairy thing just wasn't going for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fueling me, and I wanted something more. I wanted to basically get tested. You know what I mean?
As, you've been doing the dairy stuff your whole life.
I've been
much,
doing
right?
it, you know, and the writing was on the wall, and I didn't like it. And I wanted to get tested to evolve as a person. It just honestly, I kind of want to say luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew people involved there. One of my best friends that's there who has a great story too. You know, used to bale hay for a company and now he's managing 7,000+ acres, including his own operation, you know? And when he knew that I was kind of going back and forth, he's like, hey, there's this opportunity. You should check it out. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He, until this day we talk about, he's like, I thought you were never going to take it. Well, anyways, they reached out to me and the owner, Doug Bruner, shout out Doug. He always saw something in me and stuff. And they brought me in and started as Caddyshack. And I didn't know. I'm like, fuck, like rodent control. Like, no, like I want to go, you know, churn dirt. I want to run
equipment. My mom killed my animals growing up. I'm not trying to do this for other people. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just kidding.
So no, when the opportunity got, and it's like, no, this is what we do. And, we're looking to, they had a North division, but they wanted to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, dude, you're trilingual, you come from the dairy and you know how to work with employees, management, all that, like learn what we do and then blow it up. And he's like, and if you mess up, like you're an idiot because you have all the resources. That's basically what he said, the nicest way. I didn't like get I was like, oh yeah, no, you're totally right. He's like, you got all the resources here, call us.
Yeah.
And that's what started. And
that was 2020?
Was in 2020. Yeah. So came on to help grow Caddyshack and also Tree Barber, which is our soil amendment spreading, topping and hedging that we also provide. So that kind of is like, cool. Like I still get to like play with equipment and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, basically gave me.
Those machines look fucking wild for Tree Barber. Just blades that are like just samurai swords.
How new are those? Because I haven't seen, we've been getting that done for 3 years.
Been getting it done for 3 years?
Yeah, and we haven't seen it before that, we hadn't done it before that, but I didn't know if those were new machines or not. Because
there are a lot of new machines that came out, but that hedging's been around for quite a few years. How long? I'm not sure, but yeah, it's been something that's been introduced, and even a lot of farmers that have been in the almond deal for a long time, I've never done it, are now doing it. You know what I mean? You cut off a lot of excess growth, and then what you need to grow, you know, any kind of fruit, you need sun penetration, right? Mm-hmm. Those trees hang over each other. You just clean them up, whether you hedge them or top them. Same thing when you top young trees, you're kind of getting rid of that excess pointless growth that doesn't produce fruit and really allowing that tree to redirect that energy to grow into a strong tree, starting at the trunk, pushing out the fruits or nuts that are going to feed people across the world.
And so, Tree Barber, is that like you're saying, like a whole bunch of different types of crops and everything?
Yeah. So we specialize in orchard crops. Cherries, pistachios, almonds, walnuts. We've done open ground stuff as well. And man, whatever we can get into, you know, we never say no. We always give it a shot. But we're well known in the orchard spreading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have. They started with the few spreaders. Shout out Kyle. He's a mastermind behind it all and a great mentor as well. And it started with a few rigs, and now it's to the point where it's 15 tractors, 15 spreaders.
So how much has it grown since you've been there, since 2020 to now?
Tree Barber has always been
booming,
growing. Mm-hmm. And then Caddyshack has always been big. The North has been pretty light.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've been on and just took it like a pig to mud, it's grown quite a bit. But it's always been well-established. Because what Caddyshack does is poisons are pretty dangerous now to get exposed to. Trapping is kind of pointless. And Caddyshack started, you know, by a grower for the growers. And it's fumigating like gophers and squirrels that ruin your crop, strip your nuts, or like a young tree, your investment. They eat at that rootstock, and then you got to pay again to get, like, you have to keep them out, you know? And that's what it started, a fumigation deal. And what started with like a little pickup truck with a few hoses blew up to now we have 40 machines, custom built machines they built in house. And to run at this, there's no one that can operate at the scale we're at, just because we have our South and our North, and we have designated managers, which I take care of North.
How far does the Ag Center service from South to North?
From Bakersfield all the way up to farthest we've gone that I've got us up North was Red Bluff, California. But we're more dominant between Bakersfield up to, I would say, Chico to Durham. Dang. So I'm up there quite a bit. Yeah.
Literally the Central Valley. Like, yeah. I mean, basically, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, that's what I always tell people. I always tell people, I was like, I feel like Chico is the end of the Central Valley on a geographical. If you look at the map, like, then the mountains start coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know
what I mean? And like, I know, like, I guess I'm a Sacramento people are like, we're not Central Valley. I'm like, bro, look at a fucking map. Like,
you guys are Central Valley.
Okay. You're the center of California. And then people are always like NorCal, like even realtors in the area. They're like, oh, we're in NorCal. I'm like, no, you're not. Like if you can go 9 hours north and still be in California, you're not a NorCal. Yeah.
What is considered NorCal then?
I think above San Francisco, so like Bodega Bay area and up, or like
but if you cut
Redding
that across,
up, you know what I mean?
West to east, where does that hit in the central area?
Redding, I would think, right? Yeah. Like just type in central.
Because I think south. I think.
Oh, there you go.
Grapevine.
Yeah, exactly. Grapevine's LA.
All the way down
that's
TJ.
South. Yeah. TJ, yeah.
Interesting. They say Merced is right where it cuts off.
Huh. But that's like the middle. If you look on the, like, it almost looks like we're towards south, though. You know what I mean? But I would say the middle one, though. You know what I
mean? Red Bluff right there,
Red Bluff. So red.
Red Bluff so far.
Yeah, that's wild. And zoom in on that real quick. Can you zoom in? I want to see on the middle one. I just wanted to see the cities that, or
is it going? Oh, okay. You want to see up here. Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Marcus Rodriguez. If you're looking to buy or sell your home in this competitive market and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than Merced's preferred realtor, Marcus Rodriguez. He'll make sure the process goes as easy as possible, and you can reach him at 209-554-1715. Once again, that's 209-554-1715. You can visit his website, www.myagentmarcus.com, or email him, info@myagentmarcus.com. Thanks again, Marcus. This podcast is brought to you by Thor. No, not the God of Thunder. The dude who does tattoos in Merced. Now, if you're in the Central Valley area and you're looking to get a tattoo, look no further than this dude right here. He's a versatile artist that specializes in black and gray realism. He's located in Merced at the Merced Tattoo and Piercing Company. And if you'd like to make an appointment with him, the best thing you can do is follow him on Instagram. That's @_THOREEEEE. That's @_Thor with 5 E's. You click the link in the bio, and that is exactly how you make the appointment. So, thank you again, Thor, and please go check him out. This podcast is brought to you by Be Junk Free Merced. Everyone has stuff that is taking up space, but not everybody has the time or equipment to do something about it. And that's where Scott Levesey comes in. If you have junk overtaking your garage, yard, that spare room, or even a storage unit, give Be Junk Free Merced a call at 209-233-1519. Once again, it's 209-233-1519. He'll give you an estimate, and the best part about Be Junk Free Merced is that he will clean up the mess for you. So you just point, and he'll clean it up for you. You don't have, he's not going to drop off a trailer and make you do the work. He's going to make sure that he does the work for you guys. So go ahead and give Scott Levesey a call at 209-233-1519. Thanks again, Be Junk Free.
I was just trying to see what, like, San Joaquin, Yuba. I feel like Yuba, basically. Yuba and up.
So
Mendocino, yeah.
Yuba's actually, so when I came on board, the North was pretty much Merced to I would say Stockton, and mm-hmm. then, you know, wanting to grow and go past that, I've call around, you know what I mean? Started mm-hmm. like tapping into growers actually through trade shows we've done. I met a farmer in Yuba City and we started, Caddyshack started there.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened as a, you know, doing custom work for a friend, word of mouth just escalated. And the next thing you know, I'm, you know, I have one employee, one machine, and it blows up to like just six up there. And it's like, oh shoot, you know, there's a real benefit to what we do to these growers here that are mm-hmm. having issues with rodents. Tree barber doesn't go so much up there, although we're always open to
You're
it.
You're always open to it, but it just...
It's tough to move that kind of big machinery.
I was going to ask with that too. So, because rodent control, you're saying it's like, you can like almost
it's
just
It's on
drive,
a John Deere gator.
Yeah, drive like a vehicle up there or... And,
yeah, well, I haul the machines up there. Yeah. One of my
but
guys.
But it's not necessarily like the giant track. I was going to say like consumer-wise, like if you had one client up there, it doesn't seem like... That'd be worth it. You know, they're like, I got 5 acres I want you to look at. You're like, yeah.
That's where I have to look like an asshole.
They're like, yeah. They're like, we can't. You want us to quote you or do you want us to be honest with you right now?
You got an arm and a leg to give up for me to come up there for a few minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but man, agriculture's cool. The people I get to meet up and down the valley, like I said, I was always stuck at this dairy and everything mm-hmm. in Merced. And the opportunity that I have, what I'm doing now has been life-changing.
Mm-hmm. And what's like a misconception you think that people have about agriculture?
Pollution, I'd say, climate, like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, go complain about that when you're going enjoying your steak or your glass of milk from the farmer that runs.
Yeah, and that's also one of those things where it doesn't matter if you're fucking vegan or if you're like meat or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's all agriculture, you guys. It doesn't matter if it's like the things that you're eating or...
I think it's cool. There's a vegan veggie. Hey, that's all cool. I like that. But don't push shit down my throat because I don't do it back your way, you know?
Yeah. And then I was like, and then it's always like global warming and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but like also people have to eat, you guys. So at the end of the day, like, and I'm sure like the agricultural practices now compared to what they were, I mean, how,
it's a lot different. You know what I mean? Obviously a lot of challenges have been thrown growers' ways with regulations and all this stuff that's, you know, forced them to change the way they do things. And it's really helped, you know, in a way evolve agriculture mm-hmm. now. Now we have a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like robotic type of machinery mm-hmm. out there and stuff like that. All this kind of new technology coming into farming that's honestly been around for a while. It's pretty cool. And it opens up, like I was talking to you earlier and saying, you know, any kid that's curious about it, there's a lot of opportunities out there. And even for tech to get into agricultural mm-hmm. with all this new shit coming in.
Especially
like,
now.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Like we're talking about the dairies that literally there's dairies where you don't have, there's like no workers there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The cows walk in and like they just...
Oh, yeah, talking about the rotary milkers?
Yeah.
Oh, he's talking about the self, the rotary, There's quite a few dairies out here, and it's super cool. But there's also the rotary robotic ones that I got to see, and it's a trip. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, that's freaking wild.
But I know electrical stuff's super complicated, so I'd really hate to get a phone call like, hey, this ain't working.
I was thinking that. I'm like, yeah, it's cool in theory, but like, what happens? Yeah, they're saying like...
Now, any good farmer has a right man in play to take care of something.
Yeah. But when that happens, it's almost scary in the sense of before it's like, oh, I can figure out how to fix it. Where if it's like something crazy electrical, it's like, well, someone
what's
could,
that saying? Is it like adapt, overcome?
Adapt. What is it? It's overcome, adapt, improvise. Adapt, overcome.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Wait, is it Bear Grylls?
It's Bear Grylls.
Dude, that guy is so fucking unintentionally funny.
Who is that?
Bear Grylls. You know Bear Grylls.
He's like the nature guy.
Man vs. Wild or back in the day.
Didn't he get in some trouble?
Yeah, he sleeps at hotels and stuff, bro. Yeah. Dude, and he has a new show where it's only celebrities.
Shout out him getting his bag and sleeping in comfort.
Dude, me and my wife watch it. He has a new show that he takes celebrities like it's the same thing, but it's like he just specifically takes the celebrities and it's so unintentionally funny. Like he's trying to be serious the whole time and he brought Alex Honnold, the climber.
That's the free
solo guy. Yeah. Dude, that shit.
You want to talk about anxiety watching that.
Dude. Yeah. I have like palm sweat just watching it. I just did a sponsor of the podcast, Juno Coffee from Sacramento. He has his location is in a climbing gym that the climbing gym that Alex Honnold was like raised doing it, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we actually saw his mom and everything too. I was like, oh, that's wild. But like, yeah, that's a whole different world. Like he was like rock climbing, and I was just doing videos and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, he's like, you want to try it? I was like, no, it's okay.
That stuff's cool.
Like, it is cool.
I love when people have a trade they're so good at, or like just a skill, whether it's like climbing or something, mm-hmm. just like high adrenaline like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool to see.
When they did a brain scan on Alex Honnold, and it was like the part of the brain that like we have for fear, like his is like super calm, basically. Like where like ours are like if something's going wrong, like your brain starts like panicking, yeah, basically. Yeah. And his is like they did a whole brain scan and just like calm.
Yeah.
Like so when he's climbing and stuff like that, he's more calm when he's climbing than like when he's like just walking around.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy. But so Bear Grylls had him on, and like Bear Grylls was doing this thing, like he was like, oh, we're gonna climb this this rock wall. And then he's like, but what I like to do is like, he goes over to a tree with hella sap on it, and he's like, I like to rub like this. He's like, that way we can be extra like sticky and like and make sure. And he's like, come on, Alex. And Alex is like, no, I'm okay, I'm not gonna do that. And he's like, come on. He was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. Like, I don't need to do that. And then like Alex, he was like, I'm gonna let Alex go first since he's an expert. And Alex is like, yeah, it's super sketchy up here, man. Like yelling back to him, and then he's just like, that's why I let him go first. Like,
yeah.
Like it's like the opposite of like what. Survival.
You guys should do that, like a Dirty Jobs kind of segment, dude, where you go into these people's like realm, whether it's like climbing.
Dude,
or
I was thinking that like for promos, it'd be cool to do that instead of like doing like the promos we've been doing. But like just like if it was like a B person or something like that, be like, hey, we're gonna go do this, and like, and then it's just like
I have the right B guy for you guys.
No, the Evan dude, or
no, Ethan. Ethan. Yes, Rain, yes.
Yeah. Good, because
good friend of mine.
Yeah. So I literally from when you, because I remember I was like, oh, give me a couple guys, and like he was on my list this season. I put B guy on my list, but that's who I'm talking about.
He's your guy. He's your guy. Super funny guy. Super knowledgeable there on that, mm-hmm. on all the B stuff. The importance of B for mm-hmm. pollination. Now we have, you guys see all the almonds there. Yeah. You see white. That's that new crop coming in, you know.
That's what Duffy.
25 hives.
Yeah. So how many?
I think 225.
Nice.
And so, how much acres of almonds do you guys have, Duffy?
About 225.
Oh, so it's like so one per acre, basically.
Yeah. I believe so. I might actually. Is that
right? It might be.
I got 270. I can't remember.
And the way of cost of operations through the roof in agriculture. So a lot of cutbacks have been happening. It's unfortunate to see in certain things. But hey, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask you that. I didn't know if because of all the cutbacks, I don't know if that would help or hurt you guys with all the custom.
So, you know, starting off the year, we had all this rain came in, and we were talking like, you know, we're curious what's going to happen because of the cost. The almonds are, you know, at.
Oh, that's what he was just telling
extremely
me.
Almost low. All-time lows,
all,
right?
All-time lows, yeah. So we, you know, and when it comes to budget cutting, like, yeah, like sometimes the rodent part of it. But we've been busy. We've been rocking and rolling. We do a lot of stuff on young trees, which, hey, that's your investment. You got these, you know, second leaf trees you ain't producing yet, but you have an infestation. You need to do something about it. And that's where Caddyshack comes in and shines, because we provide that service. You deal with me, and I'll take care of the rest. You don't have to worry about that, like trap setting, checking on that, because you have a lot of stuff to do there on the farm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's hard to designate a guy for that. So that's why, like I said, we come in and we'll take care of that for you. Poisons, you know, they don't always work. And
so what's your guys' technique of it?
CO2. So we put
that into the holes?
My guys are trained to, squirrels are easy, right? They're big holes.
You just run a hose.
Gophers, it's a little, I mean, it's easy too. You can see the mounds, but you have to identify the tunnels. And they have a probe that helps them find.
Oh, I figure out where it's going to go.
Poke around.
Yeah.
And then they'll directly run these lines into there. And these machines have about 6 or 7 50 foot, 3/8 air lines. They run it in, you know, pack it all down. And
then they put the, like, they cover dirt over
it. Cover it up, pack
it
with their foot or shovel, whatever they're doing. And they go over to the machine in the back of these John Deere Gators and crank the RPMs. Before that, sorry, we have a burning mechanism that creates a white smoke, just mineral oil. Mm-hmm. And it really helps to see what's connected, make sure there's no openings, because the whole key is to
just so you can see where the gas is going, basically.
Yeah. So it's we put them to sleep peacefully is basically what we do. And we protect your investment. Yeah, you know what I mean? There could be, they may look
and
cute.
And then they help grow your trees because they die. And then
so call Caddyshack today.
We'll kill your fucking animal.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then with Tree Barber, it's just like these, like, I don't know. It just looks like this giant wielding tractor of
our toppers
blades,
and hedges.
Right?
Yeah. And it's pretty cool to see. I mean, you go in and that's what we do. Topping. A lot of guys do topping on, like I said earlier, mm-hmm. young trees, that excess growth, you know, they top it. That way they redirect that energy that tree's using to push off these kind of mm-hmm. pointless limbs at this stage of the tree's life to really direct it to have a straw trunk mm-hmm. and produce great fruit, you know? And in some cases, older trees, it's you want sun penetration. It's where you come in and it's called hedging. Where guys have either they want a 24-inch, 36-inch, 48-inch cut down the middle, every other row or every row.
Oh,
and what it really does, it just opens up those rows and allows sun penetration into the canopy of the tree. And as well, when you do shake and sweep and you have these windrows of nuts, they got to dry out because they have a moisture content mm-hmm. in them. And that sun penetration really helps. So
Cool. And then
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And the Ag Expo was just when this podcast comes out, happened a couple months ago.
So actually,
happened yesterday. Did you go?
We have a booth there. So the Ag Center has a big setup. So shout out to Sarah, John Paul, and everyone else involved there at the Ag Center. That every year we put on a pretty memorable event to gather like-minded individuals, growers, young cats come in, 21 and over, and we have a little bar set up and you fill up. I was telling everybody, man, you fill up the troughs, you know, the herd's going to come through. and it was a good turnout. So it's a good representation of all the affiliates and vendors involved. We have setups and I tried to be there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but realistically, man, we're just so busy with work, which thankfully, you know, it's great. So we went Wednesday, me, Kyle, a few other the guys and stuff, and got to hang out with clients, meet new clients. It's a great networking opportunity. And it was a good time. Now the Ag Expo, you guys don't know, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, there's like a shit ton of
companies from Europe. Yeah, it's really cool. Like if you've never been, I encourage anyone next year.
I've never been. I want to go. Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely go check it out.
We just have a booth, just a live podcast booth.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, now when you tap it into Ag Coach, you're gonna want someone that's gonna want you at their booth, and you run something like this, man. It's but it's cool. It's a lot of stuff. So it's like I encourage any young cats or your listeners, man, if they want to know about more about ag, just tap into the Ag Center. Their Instagram page seems to be
it's Instagram a good follow.
Just seems the way to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And man, you learn, and they always got, you know, our affiliates that are experts in either tree removal or a nursery or land leveling. And sometimes they give like some tips here and there, and you really get to tap in like, oh shit. Like, and hey, a lot of these vendors or these company affiliates need employees, and we post, hey, we're looking for, you know, an individual motivated to do this and that. So it's a great page for people to tap in into the ag world and check out, you know?
Yeah.
And anybody that's curious, I say, just check it out.
Yeah. And I think, like you're saying, like, you don't even have to be interested in working in it. It's just like, if you're interested in where your food comes from or how it's done, you know,
I would
say
it's the champagne of ag.
Yeah.
But there's a lot
it's
of like
a Miller High Life of Ag.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people that aren't affiliated with the Ag Center that do have good pages and daring and stuff. One comes to mind is Milk Diva out of Modesto, the Morris family. She does a great job of like explaining the dairy practices and all that, and really gives good insight on all that stuff, which I always encourage people to, hey, check out, learn a little bit about it, you know?
No, and for it's cool. Sure. I agree. And so what do you think, like, what skills or things that you learned in the dairy helped you transition over to doing stuff with the Ag Center?
Work ethic. It's work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And don't bitch because nobody cares.
Yeah.
Just nobody owes you anything. Just show up, do your thing, and just be as good as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to help you in life. Like whatever you do next in life, like that, whatever you develop there, that work ethic, working with people that grind, you don't got to like it. Not everything's always, like I said,
sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. It's you get that work ethic there and you take that with you, whatever you do, anything you do, whether you're making fries, make those the best fries, burger, whatever you do, just be good at it. Because from there, I guarantee you will develop as an individual and succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going in there, just dragging feet, collecting.
It's going to be the same anyway.
That's it. Yeah. And so, poor attitude. But
What was it like? So both you guys were, I mean, you were raised on a dairy, right? And you were raised on a farm, but like your guys' childhoods were just like free labor, right? Your parents just saw, dope, we don't got to hire anybody right now. We got, how many brothers and sisters do you have, Brian?
I just have.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I just have one older brother.
Well, one older brother. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Just one older brother, so.
And then 9 years later, you?
Yeah, 9 years later, just too many corpse, you know? Yeah. Cup of wine.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah.
I was a little surprised as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Not an accident, a surprise.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. They're like, you were just a surprise. Yeah. Like, okay, that's a nice way of saying accident.
So that was my childhood, really. It's, you know, feeding calves and riding dirt bikes because we, you know, you have this, you know, few hundred acre ranch and that was our Disneyland.
Like, yeah,
oh,
dude.
Shoot, like, hey, there's this old, you know, pond. It's empty. Like, let's go, you know, go do that.
Go down it.
I grew up, I love like motocross, the freestyle moto militia. And then I was always mediocre at riding, but man, I love running equipment. So I always got a kick out of just, I got a loader and dirt. Just started building jumps and all my friends that were good at that then would come over and hit these jumps and it was, yeah.
So it was cool. I made that jump. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I just had a big playground and then in high school, like brought the friends over and it was. Mm-hmm.
Golden Valley you said you went to?
Yeah. Went to Golden Valley.
Cougars, man.
Cougars. Go Cougs.
Would your parents make your friends work?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, then you had nice parents.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, to hang out with me, you had to go to the dairy with me.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you get older, it's different. I hung out with the friends in high school after work was done. A lot of times, we'd go out, party, and I'd come home, sleep for a little bit, and up at 6 a.m., get after it.
Yeah.
But I'm super appreciative for all that.
So your parents made...
Oh, yeah. And my friends would not come back. They would not...
It's probably your parents' plan.
They're like, I don't want
F these kids.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to spread fertilizer at your house. I just want to hang. And I'm like, all right, then I'll come to your house.
But growing up, that's what it was. Like, stay at the cousin's house. Like, shoot, we got to go feed calves. Mm-hmm. We got to go, whether you're going to go with him or, you know, stay at my house, we got to go feed calves. I stay at my cousin's house, we got to go feed calves. And then we're back to the house in our underwear playing PS1, PS2, Madden, and all that. That's how we grew up.
Do fucking option dash on our NCAA games. NCAA, I used to love that. But option dash, I talk about this too much on this podcast. But
is that your go-to play?
Yeah, dude, me and my buddy Chris, we were just fucking like nonstop. Because you can be like the defense and he could be the offense. And then like, and then it's funner because you're always on off. You're like, you're like on the 20-yard line just trying to go.
So did you... I'm a Raider fan, so obviously being a Raider fan, you got to learn just to love football in general because
you can't love winning, you know.
Well, Michael,
it's so
Vick,
funny that your guys' fucking slogan is just win, baby. It's like
it don't happen much.
Can we change that now?
Just don't get arrested, baby. That's your slogan.
Don't drive 140 miles per hour down Vegas Strip, man. Baby.
Have you seen the owner, Mark Davis?
I don't think.
Oh, he cut his hair,
dude. Yeah, you haven't seen it.
He looks like a normal guy now.
Show him, like, no, with the hair.
Because
he looks like I grew up. Also, if I stayed up at midnight, we had the local channel, so Matt TV. Mm-hmm. So Stewie, there he is.
Oh yeah, this fucking guy. Yeah, he looks like Chucky basically.
But now he cut his hair.
Now he's bald.
Yeah. And now he's just kind of...
Damn it, now we're going to lose a division, man. Bro, grow the hair back. We need that superpower.
Dude, that's so ugly with the hair, though. And he
look
was
at
rocking
that. Can
that
we go to the one on the bottom left where he looks like an alien?
Oh my gosh, he's so ugly.
I know Mark Davis is going to listen to this.
Mark
so I just
Davis.
Apologize ahead of time.
Okay, Mark
still
Davis.
Love you, Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah, but so he's the owner of the Raiders.
So
though?
His old man Al Davis was originally the owner of
the
Raiders.
He just like inherited it, kind of basically.
Yeah, passed away. But his father Al Davis had a big part in merging.
In a separate tab, pull up a picture of Chucky.
Oh,
right, because they used to call what's his name Gruden Chucky.
Yeah.
But this guy, honestly, I don't know. Yeah.
No, bring up Stewie from Mad TV.
There we go.
Oh.
You meant, no.
Yeah.
The guy in the diaper and stuff. Yeah.
Look what I could do.
Look what I, yeah.
Oh.
That's Raider football for you right there. That's what it looks like.
You guys think you're going to be a little better without Carr or he'll fucking see what the fuck's going on? Huh?
I don't know. You know, I obviously... the season's over, so now I'm already getting geared up to tell people this is our year.
Give it a couple months.
Yeah,
and you're
like shit. Okay, how are the other teams in the league doing? I don't know. It's a business. you know, it's how it goes. I get why they benched him, you know, and we'll see. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
He goes too. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously him being from the Central Valley, Fresno State guy, I'm rooting for him.
Dude. Exactly. I mean, that's like, that's one of the goal guests here too. Yeah. I mean, it was Brian and then it was Dopeziola and now it's
Stone Cold Steve. Oh, Derek. Yeah. Yeah. And then Drake somewhere at the bottom.
Exactly. No, we've been joking like this is our sellout season. Like just like just you could know him from the Central Valley on it. Yeah.
Just be like, that's the goal. Get some.
No, exactly. The goal is don't get me wrong. I'm always going to put on for the Central Valley, but even the podcast being called Central Valley Podcast, like if I can get, you know, like I'm saying, Derek Carr, anybody on, like obviously those are
we'll take David Carr even.
Yeah.
Like, if we have to.
Yeah.
Dude, so the Juno Coffee guy, he works for a production company and the production company that he's with solely works with the Carr brothers. And like, so they're the only, like, so the Carr brothers are on all these commercials and stuff like that. They always hire that same production company. And like, oh, really, dude? I was like, well, maybe fucking either that or Josh Allen, too. That's what I want to get Josh Allen.
Oh,
on,
no
bro.
Doubt. Josh Fireball, Allen. Fireball, dude. They farm out there. Yeah. I don't know the Allen family, but I know some people that are close with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing but good things
thing
to say
here,
about
like, them. I know like people who know them. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right.
Grandma is friends with his grandma.
Yeah, literally.
I avoid playing that card.
I'm not going to reach out that way, but my grandma was like, oh, like my grandma's best friend who like knows me and everything like that is best friends with his grandma.
Hey,
though,
remember,
you know
actions
mean?
Speak louder than the words. The more you guys keep grinding, I mean, it's going to go. Like, I really appreciate what you guys do. Like, I think it's badass and I really love to see,
It's just so crazy. It took, like, to me, it's crazy that like no one else is even like even making an I mean, there's Instagram accounts, don't get me wrong, that talk good about the area and stuff
that.
But like, there's like 209 times or other shit where it's just like, it's just the shitty stuff in the area.
You know, I do tap into those pages to check out, but I don't follow them just because that negativity shit that comes up on there, you know?
It's like every other post is a burning car.
Yeah. Or, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's entertaining. I love when the boys send it in our group chat, you know? You know, there is more to it, you know what I mean? But
It's just like so like one-sided of like, this is what it is. And I'm like, well, you're making it almost just keep on seeming like
and
that.
There are some like, Stockton and some other city. Like, Merced's got its parts too. You know, I grew up on the countryside. Yeah, so like my fun was outskirts. You know, there was this, we had our fake IDs. We had this little Mexican store we'd buy beers. We had our fun. You know, we had our friends. We went to each other's house. Yeah. I mean, we didn't really depend on, oh, Merced has nothing to do. It's like, no, it has plenty. Like we know people here, Turlock, Modesto. We'll hang out with them. And what Merced really did for us was force us to get out. And Regina, myself, Regina, and a few others, we used to go like, hey, dude, like, hey, I get off work at this time. Cool. We'll all pile up in the truck. Get, you know, I was telling you it was quantity over quality back in like 2011. So we would get Keystone because we can get more 30 packs of Keystone than Coors Light. And we'd shoot over.
The fancy Coors Light.
When we were bougie, we would have like shot parties, as we would call it. We would have the Coors Light hidden in the toolbox of the truck.
People like, where'd you get that? But like, oh, the Keystone's for you.
Yeah,
man.
Life was so simple back then. You know?
It doesn't seem like it's so quick, too. Like just hanging with your boys, like, and then all of a sudden you're like, fuck, dude, I got.
It sucks. I don't know where I saw this or heard this, but it was like, I wish you didn't have to leave the good times
to know, right?
To know that you were in the good times. Yeah, you know what
like,
I mean?
It was like, I wish you knew you were in the good old days before you left the good old days or something along those lines.
But having a brother that was 9 years older than me, he was always like, enjoy it. And I did. I really like high school, the friends that are my lifelong friends. That's why I love Merced, because I have friends here. We did a bunch of stuff together. We're still friends to this day. We're about to be in each other's wedding. Not my wedding, but Regina and stuff like that. And it's like, man, that you can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah, you like, can't. The same thing with like our buddies. Well, me and Duffy, we've known each other a lot longer apparently, but
we've been friends for like what, 10, 12
over
years?
10 years now, basically.
11, so 12 years almost.
Yeah, which is crazy, but like me and Duffy, like we played high school golf. We played with each other multiple times. Our parents knew each other, would visit each other.
Been on vacation before, we forgot.
Yeah, but. like 4-H and FFA. Like we did all this shit together that we didn't even know. But like, it took us 2 years after we were hanging out like all the time for us to realize like, hey, like we played golf together and then we'd like, we're in tournaments together.
What?
We did all crossed each other's paths so many times in our lives before we realized like, oh, we know each other way longer than we thought. So it's 12 years, but it's really like technically we hung out like, you know, 5 years, 10 years before that.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
I just didn't bring up golf or like ag because that just wasn't.
No one, yeah, yeah, no one our group, yeah, yeah. No one our,
be like, oh, okay,
no one in our group,
Country Mouse,
it. Yeah,
yeah. Everyone I hung out with wasn't Ag. Shoot, I went to Golden Valley, but we hung out with a bunch of friends from BUHAC, mm-hmm, and other schools and stuff like that. Yeah. But what I was saying earlier was what Merced forced us to do is like get out, go try stuff. Like we have a good friend of ours live in Snelling. We used to go up there, and I encourage people to do it too in the summertime. Float the river.
I love
it. Oh, so fun. Too. I
love it.
And it's like, it's inexpensive. You literally, I mean, have respect.
They even made a
for
parking
the river.
Lot
don't,
now. They yeah. made a fucking parking lot where you can park now.
Don't litter, but you know, you get your floaty ice chest and you tie it all up and just enjoy the good hang. Throw the suntan lotion on and go. And it's like,
and regardless, you're gonna get burned. You're gonna, so whatever. Yeah, you're gonna, yeah, yeah, whatever on that one. But yeah, you know, at least
drunk
put
and
some
burnt.
On. Yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah. And then you, the best part about floating the river is like you just don't know how drunk you are until like you get to the other side, and then you stand up and you're like,
when you
oh
get
my
up,
god, like my head's fucking aching. Right.
You feel like a thousand beers.
Yeah, yeah. And then somebody, I feel like somebody you're with, fucking raft always pops, you know, single time. And then then you just have somebody hanging on, you're on the side of the raft or on the ice chest raft.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean?
Yeah. Right. Hey, no, that's the ice chest raft, man. Doing that and then like swimming holes, dude, there's so much to do in the air. Like just like you're saying, Merced kind of forced you to like find out what you can do. And I think like having a good group of friends is obviously like pretty crucial in the sense of like being able to like find stuff to do. Yeah. Because like same thing like you were saying, like literally all my high school buddies, like they were all my wedding. I had 12 groomsmen. Yeah. So granted there wasn't many people skipping out on that. But but like it's just like having those good friends around really helps you like be able to like not only find stuff to do, but like make those memories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That you'll cherish, you know, for a lifetime. I mean, we used to go still do like every now and then. Have you guys ever been to LaGrange Saloon?
No, Josh talked about it, but I still haven't gone.
You should go. I forgot the old lady that's there, but such a sweetheart. And they have a good prime rib and the cowboy cookie, which is, you know, a big chocolate chip cookie. Oh, but it's a good experience. It's up there and it's like a...
It's old, right? I mean, it's probably
very old, yeah.
Look up LaGrange Saloon.
In the springtime, the warmer days, a lot of guys coming out of like Modesto, Waterford, or here, just anywhere, Oakdale, they ride their Harleys up there and they got the outdoor setting in the summertime, springtime when it's warmer, it's nice. And it's different, but it's like, get out of here.
I've been there before.
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody ever gets the chance to go up there and enjoy a nice dinner and some beers, you should definitely go out there and support. Like, it's great people. We went, when I first bought that limo, I was telling you about, cousin Eddie came through and I was like, hey, dude, I got something cool. Like, just roll through and we'll go to the saloon. And the whole point of it was like, let's enjoy the ride up there.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We because it has the ice chest in it, and we just took the girlfriends and we cruised up there, and I called them because we were closing because Eddie's known to be late everywhere. So I called them and I was like, hey, you guys open till this time? They're like, yeah, okay, perfect. And then I got close to the time where shoot, we weren't going to make it. And I called them, they're like, listen, tell me what you want. And if you guys are really coming, we'll stay open.
Oh, that's
so sick. We went, it was like 9 p.m. and like they stayed open. Like we ordered before we got there.
So they had it ready pretty much.
Ready. And then they're like, no rush to leave. Bar's open for you guys. Hang out. And then like we got to hang out with them and I was like, this is the coolest shit ever. It was just us four in there and we were just playing pool and hanging out and they were all, you know, shooting the shit with them and it was like, dang. And it's a cool experience that I don't believe you'll get it really anywhere.
And I think it's cool. Like I think that all the towns in the Central Valley kind of are very similar and that's not necessarily a thing that happens like in other places where like I feel like whether you're from Merced, Modesto, you know, Fresno, wherever, like everyone kind of has that same similar experience growing up where like, yeah, there's things to do, but like you got to kind of find stuff to do too.
Yeah.
But it's like all about like what I like when Josh came on the podcast, what he said is like, it's all about the journey going to those places. Like,
yes.
And you don't realize it when you're doing it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like when you're doing it, it's like, oh, I can't wait till we get there. Can't wait till, you know what I mean?
For us, it was, always the journey. Like it's fun. Like let's go there together and the crack the jokes and piss each other off in the car. Yeah. Like, it was
make fun of
that.
One person. And
And we got spoiled in high school because my parents bought a 13 seater van at a repo auction back in like 05.
So all your friends go on one car.
So we would take it out and we would just, you know, just like a little magic school bus of all my degenerate damn friends, you know?
Yeah.
They're all doing good. But that's what, like, we loved that. We'd go to a bullfight. It's like a lot of my friends from Merced, I introduced them to the Festas because I grew up. Like, I go to Portuguese Festas and the bullfights and all the traditions that the Portuguese community brings. And it was dope. And it was like, we always had fun, but it was going there together.
Yeah.
And it was always awesome.
This podcast is brought to you by Blaker Brewing, the official beer of the podcast. Located in Atwater and Ceres, this brewery offers not only delicious tasting beer, but great events that bring the whole community together. They even have goat yoga, you guys. Yes, I said that right. Goat yoga. So if you want to go to the tarmac, do some yoga and have some goats run on your back, well, they got it there. So I want to also make sure that you guys are available June 3rd for their Summer Smash Barbecue event. This is a great, great time, you guys. So make sure that June 3rd in your calendar is clear. There's going to be beer, games, live music, cocktails, and so much more. So make sure you guys go support Blaker Brewing, go support the tarmac and their series location. Thanks again, Blaker. This podcast is brought to you by Crybaby Wine. Proudly located in Fresno, Crybaby Wine offers you your favorite delicious tasting wines like Chardonnay, Cabernet, and everything in between. Not only do they offer these great tasting wines, but they also have a delicious de-alcoholized CBD wine. Infused with CBD and CBG, these wines help reduce anxiety and alleviate stress. You can find their products at crybabywine.com, and if you live in Fresno County, you'll receive free delivery. Once again, you can check them out at crybabywine.com. And for 10% off your order, you guys, type in CVP at checkout. That's coupon code CVP, aka Central Valley Podcast, to receive 10% off your Crybaby. This podcast is brought to you by the Outrun the Sun race. Buhat Colony High School cross country team is teaming up with Brown Butter Baker and Wooten Fitness in order to bring you this race. Now, it is going to be held at Merced College on June 10th, and it is a family friendly event. Now, there's going to be a 10K for runners of all levels, a 5K for runners and walkers, and a 1K kids race for those 10 and under. So make sure your guys' calendars are clear on June 10th so that you can attend the Outrun the Sun race here at Merced College. Now, this is a fundraiser to help the families in Planada impacted by flooding, and every dollar donated will go to them. So it's not only a great way to get outside and get exercise, but it's also for a great cause to help the families in Planada who were impacted by flooding. So make sure you guys go support that on June 10th here at Merced College. Thanks again, you guys.
That's always awesome.
That's dope. I'm going to go back to farming real quick. But like, yeah. So what is the, no, what's the, like, so right now we had like flooding and like a lot of rain compared to for what we've had to in like the past like 10 years, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what's the difference with that right now with crops and everything? Like, is there, you know, like a big difference, you know what I mean?
It's going to change, right? We got mm-hmm. some water, the lakes are filling up and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So there's going to be more water. It's unfortunate a lot of it has been pushed out to the ocean. Mm-hmm. We don't have the dams to save all this extremely beneficial water.
Mm-hmm. And the reason we didn't like divert everything to the dams, right, is basically because like, let's say the storms were going to keep happening. Then if a dam breaks, that's a lot worse than.
What are you saying? Like why we didn't have a dam?
Like, no. So like I'm saying like, because like when it was raining a shit ton, right, they kind of just had to let a lot of it run through.
Why we released it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's something along the lines where like, let's say they diverted it and put it into all our lakes, but then it continued raining. Then like we're at a basically point where like the dams like are at a point where they might break because it's like so full basically.
Yeah, and we never had this amount of water coming out
exactly.
One time. Yeah, so.
Exactly.
The canal maintenance wasn't there.
And if you have a dam that breaks, it's a lot worse. Literally, Merced could be underwater.
But I was saying, was like, I wish we had, you know, man-made dams to store all this water mm-hmm. that we can push back out to our farming community continue to grow produce mm-hmm. and such for the world. Mm-hmm. But
the last thing we thought about was that we're going to have a giant rainstorm, though, this year, too.
And I think what was more important was a high-speed rail.
Hey, we're going to be able to get to Bakersfield pretty fast, man. And then that's it. It's so ridiculous. I'm like, listen, if we're going to make this, don't make it from Bakersfield to Merced first, you guys. Make it from...
What was it originally? Wasn't supposed to be to like
be LA to San Francisco.
To the moon or some shit.
Yeah. To the moon.
Now it's like, I think.
It's Bakersfield to Merced, basically. Yeah. Like it's something like that. Because like they had to cut the budget. Yeah, they've cut the budget a million times. But it's like, hey, like at that point, you guys at least make it like San Francisco. Like going from Merced to San Francisco makes a lot more fucking sense than. Merced to Bakersfield. But hey, we're no experts over here, you guys. You know what I mean?
When was that stupid shit supposed to get done?
look up original plans for a high-speed rail. Yeah. Yeah, I remember they're like, it was probably like when it first came out, it was like, by the time we're 30, it's going to be done. And then now look at us, bro.
All right, it was established in 1996.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. But like, when did they break
So 2015 was when they first broke ground, and due to delays, cost overruns, lack of transparency.
They
reaffirmed commitment to the project in 2019, but we have not seen anything yet.
It's just so dumb. Like, I feel like if you're going to do that, like, making it from, like, literally from at least Merced or wherever to the Bay Area, that makes way more sense.
So many people travel there for work already.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, no one's traveling. Like, we're, like, not too many people are going to Bakersfield from Merced, and not too many people from Bakersfield are going to Merced either.
Yeah.
Or I said that twice. Merced to Bakersfield. You know what I fucking meant. but with, like, all this water and everything, do you see, like, was there any change in business for you guys or anything? Or, like, needs and stuff?
I mean, as far as change goes, it just put a big dilemma on everything, right? Because everything's so wet. You can't get into certain soils. A lot of guys need to get their soil amendments out, right? Their nitrogen, whether they get it from compost, whatever it may be. Like, that's where Tree Barber comes in. We spread these soil amendments to put all these nutrients back in the ground. That did put a dilemma on certain things, but...
Did Caddyshack become slower?
You'd think that because you would flood out stuff.
Yeah.
But nah.
Really?
You know, I had that theory. It's like, are we going to become slower?
Because, but like, yeah.
Once it starts drying up, I went out, like, especially these sandy soils, and then you could just see, like, activity ripping. You know what
That's
I mean?
Wild because...
Yeah, it helped for sure on certain stuff.
Yeah, slowed it down at least, probably.
Yeah, but, you know, we've been blessed. We got a good crew that continues to care about what we do, and we keep in communication with our growers, and we've been... blessed to stay busy.
I asked that because so I went on a run like right when the floodings were all happening. And so like I live over like by the JC in Merced, like just past it. And like all of our areas that were like flood areas, like we have like creeks and stuff that run through. And it was like full, right?
That was crazy
and
so
I
scene.
Went, yeah, dude. And I went on a run, right? And like it was where like the sidewalk was the only thing that was left, but like everything else was flooded. And so I was running and like I just look around and there's like dead squirrels everywhere, right? And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. And I'm running and then all of a sudden I see in the middle.
Caddyshack was here.
In the middle, you're going to laugh what I did. But in the middle of the sidewalk is this squirrel, and it was just like literally sitting down, hunched over, coughing like over and over, and it was like hella sad to see because I'm like, damn, this thing's fucking suffering right now.
Yeah,
and I was just like, okay, I ran past it, and then I ran back, and then I was like, the first time I was like, kind of like hit it, I'm like, oh, maybe it's dead or whatever, you know what I mean? So I'm like moving it with my foot, and it's fucking like it's. And I'm like, oh, damn, this shit's fucking alive. Like, I feel bad. So I run, and then I run back, and I pass it again, and I kind of, like, play with it. You know? I'm like, oh, man, I feel bad. And it's because I saw, like, so many other dead squirrels around, too, that I was like, fuck. And so I go back home. My wife's with the animal lover, though. And so I was like, dude, I just saw like, the saddest thing. There was this, like, squirrel, and it was just like.
Did she want to go back?
Yeah, and we did. No, we did.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
So we went back, and we picked up the squirrel, right, and we just put it in a fucking, like, a container basically.
Yeah.
And we just put it in our garage and I was like, all right, we can like until it gets back to whatever, we're gonna release it wherever it is. You know what I mean?
And cat ate it.
Yeah, no. I'm joking. Our dogs ate it. That would be the kicker.
Your
honestly.
Grandpa got a hold of it.
Full circle here. No, exactly. And then like it was like it was just like literally like I think like the next day we released it, but like we ended up going to this other squirrel hole that we like found, and like we're like released it there, and I was like, what if all these other squirrels just fucking killed it? Like, what the fuck? Like, you're not from our turf, man. Who the like, fuck you see, are you?
Do you guys follow Nature's Metal?
Yeah.
I just saw the one they posted today of like these skiers are like holding like this little mouse in the snow. It's all cute, and they let him go, and you can see him prancing in the nice powder, and then
oh, like a
bird comes up and just kills it. And, I mean, grabs it. I said, well, you know, it's life. That's how it goes.
Dude, that's hella funny. Well, dude, Brian, thank you for coming on. I truly appreciate it. So, I mean, I guess if you have anything to say to people, just check out the Ag Center, basically.
Yeah, man. If anyone's interested in ag, you know, we got a there at the Ag Center. I mean, you can follow us on Instagram. There's a website. But, man, if you're really just interested in see what's out there in ag, I mean, I would say the Ag Center is a start. Check it out. I mean, if you want to, there's so many experts there that are affiliated with it and a lot of cool stuff. And hopefully a lot of these individuals I can encourage to come on and speak, the real experts, the ones with the big degrees that can tell you about the water situation, soil health, root health, or all this stuff, certain markets. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there. No. Yeah, we're definitely going to get more ag people on, but
100%.
I had one guy on my mind, and I was like, we're not going to get anybody else on ag.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Our
golden goose.
Yeah.
Brian's like, I really didn't know that you guys were going to be this much.
I really appreciate it. You know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just an average dude with just goals and a work ethic. That's really just it. So you guys, you know, reaching out, I'm finally glad. We were able to do this.
Me too.
And I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you, dude.
Don't stop.
We truly appreciate it.
Don't stop. I mean, this is what it's about, having fun, cracking some beers, and just laughing at dumb shit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I try to explain to people about, like, coming on. I'm like, hey, like, don't be too nervous. Like, yeah, we talk about whatever you do, but it's like, I'm going to try to distract you. And yeah, exactly. And just have a good conversation. I'm not here to be like, yeah, so this is the, like, you know what I mean? I don't have any strong point of views anywhere.
I know you're cutting it right now. Short,
no, go ahead.
But I wanted to ask you, like, what's your thoughts on Merced? Like, where it's been from, what we'd say probably 5 years to what it's now.
And so that's what I always tell people. I always tell people, like, literally, you look at Merced 5 years ago to what it is now. And I honestly, like, I wouldn't have thought 5 years ago what the city is now.
I mean, I saw potential, but I don't think the right minds are put in place. And I think there's still a lot of work to be done. Mm-hmm. Let's not get wrong. But man, Bella Luna, you want to take a, you want to go have a nice dinner? You want to take a girl?
You
want to
have the best customer service in Merced? You got a Bella Luna.
Yeah. And I'm not taking anything away from Destino. There's also 510, but
there's great places everywhere.
You want to have a good time? Like Regina and we took the girls out. We did High Five,
the winery, the wine bar.
I haven't been yet.
Just,
it's nice.
Had wine, and then we got a drink somewhere else, and capped it off. Then at the time was Trevino's at a comedy show. But you could do that. Like, yeah, Merced is Merced, but you there's some little hidden gems. You bring somebody out, have a nice day, have some wine, hit another spot, and I would recommend top it off at Bella Luna. Mm-hmm. You love Italian food, the ambiance there. It's nice.
And because Bella Luna is like I believe, I know the guy's name. Do you remember the guy's name who owns it?
No, and I just saw him the other day.
Dude, I've met him and I talked to him.
Can we look that up? He's awesome. There he is.
John Carlo.
That's what it is. Yeah. He's there are very few restaurants you go there and the owner is there. Like on a Friday, Saturday night when it's busy as fuck.
Yeah.
And like they're working it. Like he's doing everything from running the plates to taking the plates to, you know what I mean?
To checking up on guys.
There's a lot of people
everything.
Who own restaurants that are like, no, like I'm going to come there and check it out, but I'm not going to like work. You know what
kinda
I mean?
Kind of makes me feel like a mafia man. Yeah. You know, he comes over. Hey, you know.
No, he does. He's like, how's
Soprano,
everything good?
How are you enjoying the crab ravioli? I'm
just making sure. The honor's mine. Thank you. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck, no, the honor's mine, man. Yeah. Maybe that's why I got to get on
it's
the podcast
cool.
too.
Not to take away from, I think you should, for sure. And not to take away from the other restaurants. We got some little hidden gems.
No, for sure. Like I think Pretty Good Burger's awesome.
I love that place.
Little Oven's
I've
great.
Never been.
Oh, Pretty Good Burger's.
It's fantastic.
Pretty good? Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, no, it's really good. It's kind of like the In-N-Out style where there's like four things on the menu you can choose from.
No, and simple it's bomb.
And Smash Burgers. Like, it's great.
I love that. I love that.
Pretty Good Burger's great. Little Oven's good. Destino's is good.
Love Little Oven.
Thai Cuisine too. I'm a big fan of over by the Promenade area.
Yep.
Strings is also fucking good as well.
Yes.
I love another Strings. Good
one. I love their salad. I don't know why. I love raisins and everyone hates that. So more for me.
Duffy spot.
No, I'm trying to think. Honestly, for us being a small city, we still do like four times a year, I feel like we do get like pretty big headliners at Emerson
Olive
Theater.
Garden. We're getting Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah. I'm fighting back because I was a hometown buffet guy, all right?
I was just having
this conversation. I was like, I would pay good money. I'm talking like good money to have one more experience, but I need everything ripping at hometown buffet. Like the guy cutting the ham. Yeah. I want the mac and cheese steaming. I want everything. Because I grew up like, hey, after mass on Sunday, we went.
Me too. Yeah.
Go down the hallway with all the like old stuff. Dude, I loved hometown buffet. Get the mashed potatoes and then the just aggressive tall ice cream cone.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Last night I went to a buffet that I think is about even. And it was the Pavilion at UC Merced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's 12 bucks and you get in.
You can get it, but like, we can eat there too?
Yeah.
Damn.
Really?
Yeah, I don't work there anymore. Or I don't know, I never worked there. I don't go to school there anymore. But yeah, Jasmine took me yesterday after we saw the...
It's just a buffet?
Yeah.
Really? And what's interesting, Kim, who always hooks me up with the jobs through LCAP and stuff like that, her husband's like one of the lead chefs at UC Merced.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I went way too hard. I've only eaten one meal today because yesterday I had four Four plates.
Four for dinner, huh?
Yeah. Hey, fellas, 2024 Valentine's. You go to the buffet.
So at UC yesterday, they had a NASA person there, right? Or what was he?
I think he was from Northrop Grumman, but he was one of the, like, the senior engineers for the James Webb telescope that that they deployed, and it took the pictures of, like, deep space, like deep space, yeah, so they could actually see, like,
are any what of them available, like, online
of the universe?
Yeah, like a seminar out there or some shit.
Yeah, he gave a lecture and
cool,
but it was open to the public and stuff. Like, I had seen it yesterday, but I was like, oh, that would be cool whenever that happens. And then I saw Duffy post and I was like, oh, I guess it's happening today.
It was awesome. These are actual pictures that they took. And I guess it's all in infrared, and then they color it later.
Oh, yeah. That's, they for sure edited everything. Yeah.
Yeah, like they had one that was really cool. Oh, this one right here, where the ones that are big blurs are...
galaxies?
No, they're like the very first, like, objects in space. Like, oh, yeah, galaxies because, in space.
Because when you look in a telescope, right, you're basically seeing, like, millions of years ago, right? Or something.
Billions.
Like, billions of years ago, though, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that that shit's out there? Like, and we're just, like, on a planet floating throughout this, not knowing what the fuck everything else is.
Yeah.
And, like, we think... Yeah,
that and the ocean trips me out.
Oh, the ocean's scary. Like,
I love the ocean, you know, if I can stay close to shore, fish, or, like, touch sand, but...
No, dude, I used to, New Brighton Beach in Santa Cruz, we used to go camping there, and me and all my buddies, we used to, like, oh, let's see how far we can swim out. We'd always do this type of shit. Now, there's hella sharks over there. Hella. Like, literally, I went like...
Where's this?
New Brighton Beach. So, literally, right back by Capitola.
Okay, yeah.
So, between, like, Capitola
it's
and
it's, like,
then,
in the
like,
Monterey Bay.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, I got a buddy that surfs out there. He's a firefighter in Washington. Yeah, Trent.
Yeah.
Love that guy. Yeah. He would send us stuff, like, the aerial view of, like, the sharks. I'm like...
Yeah, dude, I don't get... Yeah, I'm like, I'm all for, like, if anybody else wants to be out there. But, like, I don't know, like... And there's hella sharks. We went out there, and there's literally shark tours going on. Like, they're, like, where you get on a boat,
yeah,
and they'll be like, oh, look at all these, like, sharks and stuff like that. And, like, I'm talking, like, where... I used to go to that beach, go swimming all the time, and then I went, like, I don't know, my second and third year in college, and I went back out there, and then you could literally see just shark fins going back and forth. I'm like, fuck, and it's great white shark. It's not like, oh, it's a tiger shark, or I don't know what that is.
Have you guys seen, speaking of sharks, that, like, lady on Instagram that swims with sharks?
No.
Oh, man, I wish I knew a name.
Well, let me tell you about Dustin Burkhouse, who I've had on the podcast. He goes swimming with sharks as well. And he's born and raised somewhere else, but he lives in Tracy, and he goes, like, he doesn't go diving with great... I mean, he goes in the cage to, like, see great white sharks, and he, like, literally photographs them and stuff like that and does crazy videos and shit.
Oh, this is her. Okay.
I have seen this chick. And she, like, holds onto their fin while they're fucking going, and it's, like, massive.
She's got big old balls.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's insane.
Go to, like, that middle... No, go up. Yeah, the middle one right there. No, down right there. That, yeah, where she's touching this fucking mouth of a great white shark. Uh-uh.
Why don't they, like, attack?
I'm sorry, Duffy.
Sharks.
She's not getting attacked.
No. I'm not
a way to shit on your parade.
I came here to see blood.
Yeah,
dude.
But dude, I love freaking crazy people like this. That's like wild. That's awesome.
Go to Dustin's real quick. I just want to show you, dude. This guy from the Central Valley, and this guy reached
What's
out to.
What's his page again?
Just type in Dust.
You've had him on,
yeah,
or you're gonna.
Oh, okay, Dust. On. Dust. 10.
And then 10. Yeah, right there. 10 photos. This guy, dude, he's fucking like, he's blowing up, has like 91,000 followers and stuff. But like, go down, go.
Oh, here's a shark one.
Yeah, just go click on one of the shark videos. Like, this is like him in the cage. And this was in Guadalupe Islands and stuff like that in Mexico. But fucking crazy shit. And then he'll like go out and swim. Dude, isn't that nuts? Go back though.
To the beginning or
no,
to a different
to
one?
To the different one. And then go down. And there's ones of him swimming with like, there's like an aerial view of him swimming with hella sharks. I don't know what type of sharks they are, but they're like, keep going down. Yeah, it'll give me more.
Whoa. Didn't he show you one video that he was just like,
oh my
gosh.
Yeah, he won't release it. I'll tell you about it. Go down.
White people, man. I'll tell you what. They are crazy.
Go up. Get to the left. Click on that one. Yeah. Yeah, this one.
That is terrifying.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
Dude, so his very first trip to the Guadalupe Islands, and I hope it's in the Guadalupe or else I'm just doing this wrong, but he was in the cage, right? And he was in there, right? And then they bait the sharks, or the it recently closed down and they're not allowed to do any baiting, and like the shark tours are over in Guadalupe, but they would bait the sharks to get them to come to the cages and stuff like that.
I know. I used to watch Wild Boys with Steve-O and Chris.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they were doing that, right? And then they pull it because they don't want them to actually bite it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they pulled it and the shark was coming like really fast out of nowhere to it. And, the shark goes and he hits his head right in the middle of the cage, right? And so, and then his head gets stuck. And then the shark's like trying to figure out what he's doing. And Dustin's like in there and he has his GoPro and his camera, right? And so like the video he showed me is his GoPro. And he's like at the bottom of the cage because like they're connected to the tanks that are in the ship. They're not in the, they're not down there. And so he's like looking up at the shark and the shark's like trying to figure out what he's doing. And then he's like pushes through and he swims inside the fucking cage.
Bro. Oh, hell no.
No, dude, yeah. He swims inside the cage. And like when I'm watching this video, like, cause he just showed me like it's on his phone.
It's not on his Instagram.
No, cause he doesn't, he's all about like, he wants to like
positivity.
Yeah, positivity of sharks. Like, hella sharks die every year from just us being assholes. But like he fucking, like, I'm like, fuck no. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, no. And so he gets his oxygen ripped off and the other person that's in the cage with him, they pull the people from the top pull that person out. And so he's in the bottom of it. And this the shark's like swimming around and he's just like, all you see is the camera's just going crazy. Cause
no oxygen, trying to stay calm.
And he finally basically, makes it up to the top while the shark's like swimming around and they pull him out. And he's just like fucking like out of breath, obviously thought he was about to die. And then this is his first, that was like his, either first or second day being in the cage, which is ever. That which is wild. Yeah.
I mean, I've been in like arenas with like bulls. I've been hit by cattle. I've been knocked on my ass. But sharks?
Dude, I know. Sharks are fucking wild.
I got sweaty palms. Holy shit. He needs to post that.
I know. But wait, what's crazy is what he did is like, he said that was the day that like his life changed because he used to like work like at a, like a warehouse, like Amazon basically or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And after that, he was like, the next day though, because he was on this thing where you're on a trip for 10 days. Basically. And the next day he said like before anybody woke up that the cages are open and stuff like that. He kind of wanted to face his fear. So the next morning he woke up and he went in the cage and it was just him and he was alone in the cage and he was just like looking at the sharks as they would come by and stuff like that. But like, you know what I mean? Imagine like after having that near death. And then he said he went back to work and his boss said something that he didn't like. And he was like, you know what? Honestly, I just quit. And then from there, he started his own photography business all about like real estate and fucking.
This podcast is brought to you by Connor Manufacturing Incorporated. They are a local family owned and operated machine shop that services the Central Valley and beyond. They specialize in complex parts using the state of the art manufacturing processes. Now, if you are interested in using their services, you can send all RFQs through their website at www.connormfg.com. Once again, if you're interested in their services, please send all RFQs through their website at www.connormfg.com. Also, make sure to follow them on Instagram, Connor_MFG. Once again, that's at @CONOUR_MFG. Thanks again, Sean. This podcast is brought to you by Smiley Service Center for all your automotive repair needs. Smiley's is proud to announce that they have relocated to 254 West 16th Street in Merced. Their team of experienced technicians are dedicated to provide you with exceptional customer service and the highest level of expertise in the industry. They offer a full range of services, including AC, alignment, tire replacement, brake repair, oil changes, suspension work, and much more. Don't wait until your vehicle breaks down to seek professional help. Contact Smiley Service Center today to schedule an appointment by calling 209-722-2616. And once again, they are located at 254 West 16th Street in Merced. Thanks again, Smileys. This podcast is brought to you by WorkNet and the Merced County Workforce Development Board. On this podcast, we often talk about how people from the Central Valley made it, either in a career or in starting their own business. In Merced County, WorkNet provides people with career advice
job information, and training they need in order to change careers. WorkNet services are provided through Merced County, and they are completely free. So it's a no-brainer on if you should use this resource or not, you guys. They have helped hundreds of people and small businesses every year, and you can check them out at WorkNetMerced.com. Once again, all these services are available for free, and you can check them out at WorkNetMerced.com. Thanks again, WorkNet.
Grown that way fucking bigger than you could.
And he's got a pretty big following on social media.
90,000 people, dude.
Oh, shit.
He's from. Yeah.
I misread that. I thought it said 9,000.
No, 90,000. When he came on the podcast, he was 20,000. That was a year ago.
It's the daily bump. I've been telling everyone. We had
the chef at Rainbird come on. And then when he came back by recently to check out the video we did for him, he was talking about, right after you guys, like the San Francisco Chronicle did an article about us and stuff. He was like, that's the Central Valley podcast bump, man. Like,
that's what we do here, guys.
Yeah. So you hear about Joe Rogan bump, but have you heard about
Central
Valley?
I'm just here to clout chase, man. That's
you're about
it,
to get
man.
So many followers now.
Speaking of Joe Rogan and our, and having a theater here, man. If we ever get Bert Kreischer, those boys out here, that would be sweet.
We saw him in Fresno
last year, bro.
What does it take to get him in Merced?
Felipe, who Felipe Esparza is?
No, I don't.
He's a comedian.
What's up, fool?
He's like a what's up? I don't know. He's like a comedian. You've probably seen him randomly throughout.
Yeah, if you show me,
he
maybe
has Netflix specials and stuff like
long
that.
Long haired dude?
Yeah, long haired dude, Mexican dude.
He came through town.
Yeah. So we saw him recent. Oh yeah, exactly. Like in the fall, he came through town. But like, so we got him. We got Steve-O. You know what I mean? So I think it's like, you know what I mean?
And catching traction.
Yeah, exactly.
Rodney Carrington actually. Do you guys know Rodney Carrington?
No, did he come here?
He did, actually, yeah. That was my first comedian growing up. My brother used to have his CDs. He's more of like a country. But, and he used to have a show on NBC, Rodney Carrington. He is funny.
He would make
show them to me.
Oh,
and
that's
then,
right.
Yeah, that was him.
You know Wheeler Walker Jr.?
Oh, yeah.
Wheeler Walker Jr. is the shit.
Yeah.
I like Tom Segura or YMH or Mom's House and stuff like that. And they always have him on. And then they just talk shit. They're like, so are you familiar with Your Mom's House, YMH?
Yes, with Tom Segura and his wife.
Yeah. So, dude, they constantly make fun of Garth Brooks.
he loves Garth Brooks, doesn't he?
No. So they have like this ongoing joke basically that Garth Brooks is like a murderer. A serial killer, because Garth Brooks does not know how to talk to normal people. He has no idea how to like have words and like literally like
this is a conversation.
He's like, this is a
conversation. Let the conversation begin.
And then he'll be like, please donate for the kids in Ukraine. He'll laugh afterwards and stuff like that
because he's not human.
But all they do is like make fun of him and stuff like that. And like they got their workers to go to a Garth Brooks concert, and they had like a sign that said, "We love you, Garth," right? And then they got put on the Jumbotron, right? And as soon as they got put on the Jumbotron, they dropped that sign and they put like, "Where are the bodies, Garth?" Earth.
So now people bring
oh my god,
where are the
god.
Bodies G, and they call him G. They always call him G.
Have they had him on the podcast?
No, but they literally talk about him all the time, and they're saying, and then Tom's agent is friends with Garth Brooks agent, and his agent was like having a conversation. He was like, oh yeah, I'm about to go do something with Tom Segura tomorrow, and they're like, Why are you friends with that guy? And then he was like, what? And then he was like, oh, like, does Garth know about like that? And he was like, yeah, Garth knows that. And he's like, does Garth hate him? And then Garth's agent was like, Garth don't hate nobody.
Yeah, Garth don't hate nobody.
But like, all these comments right now are all your mom's house. It's like, I followed all the clues, G. Now can I have my family back?
Yeah.
They're like,
oh my god, that's got to be so annoying for him to have that.
Dude, they'll have thousands of comments that are all like, "Where are the bodies, Garth?" Like, it's hella. It's funny because like he's such a country superstar that like it doesn't matter. But like, they had somebody. They have like people write in to their page all the time, and they're like, I clean airplanes for. Like the highest of celebrities, basically, and they had
private jets.
Yeah. They had to clean Garth Brooks' private jet, and there was like a bathroom incident where there's shit everywhere, and like. Dude, and what they're saying, and he didn't want to pay any more for it. Like, he didn't want to pay them extra for what they were trying to charge him and stuff like that. But it's like, bro, you're like the biggest country star in the world. Dude, he's so funny, though.
That
he's so
hilarious.
Unintentionally funny. great songs, but like...
Oh, great. No, he's a legend. I mean, I think he sells out arenas left and right.
It's like in seconds.
Yeah. Literally like all over the world too.
Him and George Strait.
Yeah. George Strait's the shit though too. Toby Keith's the fucking shit, you guys. Toby Keith. My man. Dude, Kirstie Red, White, and Blue. That was
my favorite country song is going to be Where the Green Grass Grows, Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
And Faith Hill.
Yeah. Dude, that's a great one. And then Alan Jackson too. I gotta throw in Alan. I love Alan Jackson.
Oh, bro. Yeah, yeah. I love Alan Jackson.
Drive, bro. Drive's my shit.
That's your song?
Yeah, that one. And then Courtesy Red, Right, and Blue was mine and my wife's last song at our wedding. And people were like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, I fucking love this shit, you guys.
We'll put a boot in your ass.
It's the American way. And Uncle Sam.
That is, yeah.
Dude, that's
you want some testosterone booth, man. You drink some Budweiser song and you're conquering the world.
Exactly. Look at us ending just talking. We're with the agricultural department talking about country music here, people. Yeah.
But if you want to record raps or R&B, call me.
That's my thing. Gotta get that plug in. Yeah, exactly.
Man, I'm a hell of a rapper when I'm intoxicated, so maybe I'll take it up.
A lot of us white guys are pretty good rappers when we drink.
Yeah. My girlfriend always gives me shit because like I always try to sing songs, but I just butcher lyrics.
Oh, dude. Dude, my wife, the same thing. I'll be like, and she's like, that wasn't even close. And I'm like, oh, no, yeah. I try. Yeah. And I fail, but I try. Wait,
you're not turned on? Damn it. My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, huh? Is that it? That's it, man. Dude, Brian, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys. This is awesome. I hope we get to. I hope I become a reoccurring guest when
We'll have you and Josh on next time.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'd be down. We get together, we riff back and forth.
No, exactly. That's what I like to do too.
You guys got to come up with your own version of like Fight Companion, where you get like your boys.
We're trying to think of like Fight Companion like
something.
So I want to do like like you know Joe Rogan has the UFC.
What is it called?
Here we go talking again. But
what? I'll keep it rolling.
He has the UFC one, but it's all on his same channel. JR.
Oh yeah, he has the MMA
ones. No, it's MMA. Yeah, that's what it is. So he has like the MMA ones where it's like
it's categorized like Justin Poirier MMA number 4.
It's like MMA number whatever. So it'd be like if we had like a sub show basically.
Yeah.
Where it would be like it'll be like MMA, like the MMA numbers are different than the Joe Rogan numbers.
Yeah. It's categorized.
It's what we call MMA show, basically.
There we go.
But it's all under the same Joe Rogan. It's all the same show. You know what I mean? It's just that they're categorized different.
I do love his Fight Companion where he gets the boys in there and some whiskey.
I was just listening to the last one with Brian Callen and them. Yeah.
Eddie Bravo.
Yeah. And Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, yeah.
Brendan, dude. That guy. He just makes me laugh because I feel like he has no idea what he's saying and like until after he says it.
Yeah.
And he's always like, or they're like, what did you just say?
Hey, fuck it. He's successful. Good for him.
Oh, dude. No.
Huge fan.
I mean, I love him and everything, but I'm just thinking, like, it's just funny. Like, all the other podcasters just always give him shit, and I just laugh about it all the time.
But he could kick all their ass.
Oh, fuck
he's like a big dude. Yeah.
He's fucking heavyweight in the fucking, in the UFC, bro. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine.
Hey, anybody, I don't care if you're good or not, but if you're in the UFC, like,
you kick my fucking ass.
Yeah.
Even if you're not in the UFC, you can kick my fucking ass.
I'll knock you out with some verbal insults, man. Shoot.
There we go. All righty, Brian, thank you for coming on. Truly appreciate it. And we'll have to do this again.
Excited to see this thing run up. Yeah. You get Derek Carr's ass in here and Josh Allen.
See you guys soon.
Yeah, Josh Allen, get over here, bud.
Yeah, come here. Central Valley Podcast. You were raised here, okay? You got to give back. Everybody gives.
You got to give.
You got to give, man. Everybody gives.
Toast to the 209.
There we go. All righty.
She wears a sweats out to the bar, and you can try but you won't get too far. And she'll take free drinks from anyone, but it don't mean that you're getting some, cause she always ends up at my apartment yourself another drink, girl, we're getting started. You're just spilling wine all over my carpet. But I wouldn't change a damn thing about her. Cause the way that you're making me feels like no one else ever has. Girl, I've got it bad. We're both so content with just drinking it till we drown out the past. Girl, we've got it bad. She wears her sweats out to the bar. Still the prettiest girl in the room by far. And every now and then she'll break her dress out and get to keep her to myself somehow. Cause she always ends up at my apartment. So pour yourself another drink, girl, we're getting started. She's spilling wine all over my carpet. But I wouldn't change a damn thing about her. Cause the way that you're making me feels like no one else ever has. Girl, I've got it bad. And we're both so content, we're just drinking until we drown out the past. Girl, we've got it bad. Anymore. We stay home wasted on the kitchen floor. We swore we'd keep it a drinking buddies. But girl, I've never felt this lucky. She winks and says, I miss the apartment. But pour yourself another drink, we're just getting started. She spills wine on hardwood instead of carpet. I still wouldn't change a damn thing about her. Cause the way that you're making me feels like no one else ever has. Girl, I've got it bad. And we're both so content, we're just drinking it till we drown out the past. Girl, we've got it bad.
Duffy, shout out Micah.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it.
Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.